The Last Passenger, a Charles Lennox mystery, on or about the first day of October, 1855, the city of London, England, decided it was time, once and for all, that Charles Lennox be married. Lennox himself didn't necessarily disagree. He lived a happy life as a bachelor in the passage through Mayfair known as Hampton Lane, but for the first time had reached a stage when he could admit that a wife might settle his days into a more contented rhythm. Nevertheless, the city's vehemence in its new convictions about his future came as a surprise. It had been so for weeks, mysteriously. Ancient, distant, respectable cousins had dropped in on Lennox after years of silence, mentioning their friends' grandnieces. Peers from his school days delicately proffered their sisters. Even his close friends, Lady Jane, for instance, and his brother Edmund, seemed to think he was in desperate need of a wife. Part of it was no doubt that the season had just begun after the long summer in which those who could mostly retreated from the city into the clearer air of the countryside, all had returned. And every night there was a different salon or ball. The next night these same people would be crowded into Miss Wilcott's immense ballroom in the guise of either lions or lambs. However they chose to interpret that directive, Lennox hadn't chosen. He dreaded it. Still, this was his sixth autumn in London, and the assaults upon his liberty had never been this concerted or numerous. He was, after all, an unusual match. It is true that he had a good deal to recommend him. He was a slim, eligible young man of 27, always well dressed, with a thoughtful face, hazel eyes, a short black beard, and an easy smile. In his manner, there was a simplicity that perhaps derived from his background in the Sussex countryside. He had been born the second son of a baronet there, sometimes a tricky position, but was fortunate enough to have means of his own. He had a good character, lively, happy friendships, and a family respected on both sides. What's more, though perhaps he did not see this for himself, bound like all men and women in the intense, confused impressions of his own inner world, Lennox was an appealing young fellow. Too hard to say precisely why, perhaps primarily because he was that fortunate creature, from whatever class one might pick, the child of two parents who loved him. As he stepped out of his carriage at home that evening, he sighed. At times he wondered whether this profession was even worth his time. The fact that his progress as a detective had been halting, one or two notable cases notwithstanding, but also long periods of stagnation, and the derision of his class and of Scotland Yard, a less stubborn person might have given the folly up. But Lennox kept at it. Would it not be nice to return to a comfortable hearth, bedecked with a lady of sweet disposition and aspect, and perhaps even one or two small humans playing blocks in the mood of intense concentration he had noticed in the visages of his friends' children. Graham, he called out, entering the house.
Good evening, sir. Graham, the house's butler, standing up from a chair in the small alcove in the front hall which served as his notion of an office.
A pleasant evening.
Graham was, though a servant, one of Lennox's closest confidants. A compact, sandy-haired, gentlemanly person of whom Lennox's own age, attired in subtly faultless suit of clothes.
I was married off 20 times or so. Other than that, it wasn't so bad.
Glad to hear it, sir,
said Graham, taking Lennox's cane and hat. Lennox looked at the grandfather clock. It was past midnight.
I know you must be tired, but what do you say for 10 minutes on the Claxton case?
This was a peculiar death in Nottingham that they had been studying.
With pleasure, sir, Graham said. Mrs. Huggins left tea on the warming plate, and there are cheese and pickle sandwiches at your desk, sir, in case you didn't have supper.
And so opens The Last Passenger, the last in a prequel trilogy to the Charles Lennox mysteries. I know what you may be thinking. Oh, no, Another mystery set in old London town. And we're really in old London town now. It's the 1850s. Queen Victoria wears the crown, and the famed Scotland Yard has settled into its role as Britain's best and highest criminal investigation agency. But, as we are to learn with the escapades of Sherlock Holmes some 50 or so years hence, not everyone who works for Scotland Yard is a showpiece for criminal investigations. And if those opening lines we just heard are be taken at face value, we're about to enter romance territory with a capital R. What? A mystery romance, perhaps? Well, fear not, dear listener. For enters our hero and central character, Charles Lennox. As we heard, a second son and thus a minor lord of the realm, but a potentially super criminal sleuth. Rich enough by inheritance to populate his life in our story with a butler and manservant who doubles as Lennox's investigatory friend, a housekeeper who stays in the shadows, and a cook who rules her domain with skill and drops the occasional key thought into her employer's mind. It's in some ways a tale that's been told many times before. The Sherlock Holmes stories come to mind, as noted earlier, but rarely has a tale of crime in amateur investigation had such panache and humor woven into its telling as those opening lines portend. Our protagonist, the young Lord Charles Lennox, is, as we heard, still on the young side of life to our contemporary way of thinking. He's in his late 20s when we meet him in The Last Passenger, but certainly nearing the end of the marrying age in high society of Victorian London, and so it is that how to get Lennox satisfactorily married is a subplot that percolates through the novel and spurs Lennox to attend the high society parties that, oddly enough, offer him insights into the criminal world of the third-class railway carriage where our featured crime occurs. And now about that crime. The crime is one Lennox almost dismisses out of hand that very evening that opened our review. Visited that late October evening by his Scotland Yard contact, whom Lennox is more often than not going to help piece together the puzzles of a crime. Our hero is told that there is a particularly gruesome murder just discovered at the spanking new Paddington train station. Would he like to give it a look? Well, Lennox is tired out from a heavy evening of social partying, you know how that goes, but something in the Scotland Yard's approach tickles Lennox's mind's fancy, and the young lord has his carriage gallop him down to the now all but deserted train station, where he finds a small clutch of constables and a gruesome murder. A well-dressed young man traveling, oddly enough, in the third-class rail coach, has had his stomach ripped open. He's dead for sure. But how could such a heinous murder have taken place in a train carriage now resting in the capital city's premier train station? And why was the murder discovered only after all the passengers had disembarked? Lennox decides there is certainly more than meets the eye of these Scotland Yard minions sent to investigate this crime, and it turns out that Lennox intuits the murdered man is from America, of all places. For you see, the young murdered man, was wearing a fashion-forward sackcloth jacket, a jacket most often worn on the American East Coast, and his feet are covered by socks, not stockings, another oh-so-American fashion that no Englishman, certainly not someone who travels in the third-class carriage, would be likely to wear. But since the labels of the murdered man's clothes have been carefully excised after his death, another clue, dear listener, that Lennox takes to heart and extrapolates from. With no labels, there is no clear way to investigate from where the young man may have hailed in the States, nor to learn his name. And what was the murdered American doing on a train that had whisked him from the interior city of Manchester to London, instead of the more likely American traveling from the coastal commercial hub of Liverpool into the heart of the city's capital?
Turns out the unfortunate fellow was a politician from the east coast of the United States on a mission to pull the British government into the political social turmoil roiling the United States in the 1850s. Lennox uncovers, with surprise, that the murdered man was a rising young star of the abolitionist movement, and he was not traveling in Britain alone. Well, questions galore erupt the more Lennox and his man Friday Combe Butler look into this unfortunate case. As far from shrinking from the task of solving this grisly murder, our young Lord Charles Lennox jumps into the gory investigation with both feet and a mind capable of 360-degree views, taking in both the clearly observable facts, all of Scotland Yard, and the less tangible but intriguing surmises the case offers. Both qualities that give him a leg up on the already bureaucratically minded Scotland Yard folks. The 19th century urban atmosphere as painted by the author has the ring of realness about it. The somewhat stodgy social relations that highlight Lennox's daily comings and goings in Victorian England. The freewheeling attitude assessed to Americans by the Brits. And most importantly, perhaps, an examination through the eyes of the old mother country of how the new American nation is nearing its ripping point over the issue of abolition of slavery and the increasingly caustic relations between North and South, all seen through the Brits' hazy understanding of American politics. The sitting American president, President Pierce, hailing from the North, was the most popular in the South, it is noted to Lennox in one sidebar in American politics. And some Brits, and undoubtedly other European nationals as well, figured the young nation would tear itself apart, leaving it wide open to recolonization. This is the 1800s, for goodness sakes. And so it is that The Last Passenger presents us not only with a carefully drawn sympathetic feel for Victorian England, but the same for a not yet fully conquered American continent, still searching for consensus on a moral topic that European nations had settled for themselves a couple of decades earlier. We'll thread all of these strands together, the grisly murder and Lennox's undying efforts to solve it, the intrusion of an abolitionist endeavor into London's already politically fraught activities, and the unending efforts of London society to get the young lord turned investigator properly married, to their lights at least, and you've got a mystery that is darn difficult to put down. Tempting though it is to end our review with another look into Lennox's romantic life, budding romantic life, that is, let's move instead deeper into Charles Lennox's personality. This young lord, this young fellow who decides to throw the clergy and the politics of life aside and instead dedicate his sharp mind and strong work ethic into solving crimes in Victorian London. As he's reflecting on his situation in life, we read this. Standing at his desk, Lennox felt alone for 20 miles in every direction, far from the evening before and the dawn to come, far from the person he loved, wherever she might have her head to rest on this great world, the person he hoped would bear his children and whom he might still not even have met. Far from himself, in a way, in that queer hour, for it has stung him when the chap from Oxford cut him off. It still hurt that any fool with a coal baron's half foot in the upper class could look past him because he had chosen this odd profession, which he could scarcely wait to pursue in his current state of excitement when the next morning arrived. Charles Finch, The Last Passenger, a Charles Lennox mystery. It's quite a good read, and it's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.